hotel. I did the Iditarod trail.
Welcome to another episode of Husky Talk. Our guest today was not originally supposed to run the Iditarod. At last minute, he was unexpectedly got asked if he could be willing to run for a friend. He is the father to a 3-time junior Iditarod champ, Emily Robinson. Please welcome to the show, Wally Robinson.
Hi, Wally. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on.
First of all, congratulations on your most improved award this year. Wait, can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I ran Iditarod back in 2001. Moved to Alaska from Michigan in 1999 and been in Alaska for 24 years now, and been running dogs the whole time, and started a family, had two kids, Emily and Stanley. They both run dogs, and this year I was back after 23 years to run Iditarod.
So you weren't originally expected to run the Iditarod this year. Can you describe how this opportunity came about?
So yeah, a friend of mine, Josh McNeil with Crooked Creek Kennels. In Alaska terms, he's my neighbor, but he lives about 10 miles away across country. So, but we train a lot of same trails and have done some racing against each other in the past. And this year he was out on the west coast of Alaska in Bethel, running the Cusco 300 sled dog race. And he hurt himself on that race, hurt his shoulder really bad. So, he was within a month and a half, he was supposed to race the Iditarod, but he couldn't because of that shoulder injury. And so he was trying to decide what to do. And then, he asked me to run his team of dogs to Nome. And that was a great honor. And we had a really good run, but I'd ran the dogs just a couple times before Iditarod. So on the race, we had to really get to know each other, me and the dogs, but it worked out real well.
How are you able to prepare mentally and physically on such a short notice?
Well, physically, I was actually training for an ultra marathon in March in Arizona. So that was a 55K, 34 miles. So I'd been running on the treadmill a lot and working out a lot. So I was physically, I was in pretty good shape. Mentally, it kind of worked out because it was just last minute. So I kind of got tossed into it and said, here we go. And didn't have a whole lot of time to think about it. But mentally, it can be tough. It's 9 days, and for the first 7 days, I figure I had around 10 hours of sleep in those first 7 days. So the sleep deprivation is really hard, and trying to push through that and just keep telling yourself to stay strong, and it's cold out. And so, it's not an easy race for sure.
Did you end up doing the ultra marathon?
No, I didn't, because it was supposed to be on the 10th of March, which was right during Iditarod. So I was doing a little bit longer marathon, I guess you could say.
The last time you ran the Iditarod was in 2001. As someone who has raced in different decades, how do you think the race has evolved over time?
So I would say one of the biggest changes I've seen is when I ran, there was no GPS trackers on the sleds. There was no two-way communication. So you were kind of out there all on your own, and nobody knew exactly when you were going to be coming at a checkpoint. And so that's definitely changed the dynamic of the race and how strategies are played out. And so that's been a big change. The dogs haven't changed a whole lot. The dogs are still pretty similar. The run rest schedule is pretty similar to what it was back then. Another thing I noticed was a lot of the checkpoints used to have wood stoves, and now they've got like fuel oil heaters and stuff. So it seems like it's harder to dry gear out, because those big wood stoves were really nice to dry gear out on. So, those are some of the changes I've seen. And I guess one other change is, when I ran, there was almost 70 teams the first time, and this time there was, 39 teams. So definitely a difference in the numbers.
Did your perspective of the race change since the last time you ran?
No, not really. I guess I'm definitely older than I was back then. So I just tried to enjoy it more and have a good time. Yeah, when I was younger doing it, I was definitely more focused and wanted to finish. But this time I just kind of took it all in and enjoyed it, and didn't really want the race to end, you know?
Talk to us about your experience on the trail this year.
So yeah, it was like I said, I didn't really know the dogs that well. So we went through the first five checkpoints, I believe. We didn't even stay in a checkpoint till Nikolai. We camped outside of checkpoints, and part of that was so I would have time to just spend with those dogs and not be distracted in the checkpoints or anything. So, you know, I camped out on the straw with the dogs, and yeah, going up over down through Rainy Pass was good. Lots of snow. But we got down by Roan, and the rivers there are all windblown from the snow. So we actually flipped over twice on the sled and got drugged by the dogs and lost my headlamp and had to go back and retrieve that. So that was definitely interesting. And then the farewell burn there was about 20 miles, no snow on that at all. So it's just dirt and rock, and you're going over that. And the dogs actually like it. They actually go pretty fast over that stuff. So, but trying to control them is definitely a challenge. And, yeah, then you know, I had never been on that section of trail from Ophir to Ruby. You know, Ophir and then Cripple. I had never been through that section, so it was really neat to see that part of the country. Just rolling hills and real pretty country. And yeah, we got to Ruby. We took our 8 hour at Ruby, or 8 hour mandatory, and the Yukon was really cold. You know, we're running on the Yukon for about 150 miles, but it was you know, when I got to Galena, they said it was 30 below, but I'm pretty sure down on the river it was 50 below. I'd talked to some other mushers that had thermometers on their sleds. And when I got to Galena, I thought my foot was froze because it was all numb and tingling. And but it ended up not being. It was just really cold. But on that run, though, it was cold, but the whole Yukon River was just filled with northern lights. It was just amazing. The whole sky was just filled with them. And you know, we were running late in the night. I don't know, it must have been midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was just really pretty. So yeah, then we got over to the coast, and that's always fun, running from Unalakleet to Shaktuluk and the whole coast, and this whole different lifestyle out there, and culture, and it's just really, really nice people and really nice checkpoints. And yeah, we had a really good run in a Nome, finished with 14 dogs, the biggest team in the race. So yeah, super happy with the dogs and super happy how it turned out. Yeah.
What were some challenges you faced on the trail, and how did you overcome them?
Probably the biggest challenge was sleep deprivation. Like I said, by the time I hit Caltag day 7, I had about 10 hours of sleep. So that's really tough, and everyone struggles with that, you know. But how you overcome that is just pushing through it and talking to yourself a lot and talking to the dogs and just trying to stay awake and grabbing snow and putting your face and just doing things you can do to stay awake. But you know, it's a long race, and but it's just like anything in life, you know. I have a friend right now that's hiking the Appalachian Trail, and it's 2,000 mile long. And I was just talking to him this morning, and I told him you gotta break it down into day by day. You can't look at the whole picture. And it's kind of like that with Iditarod. You can't look at the whole thing. You just look at getting to the next checkpoint, or maybe two checkpoints out. But if you try to think about the whole thing, it just is overwhelming. So you got to break it down into small little goals each day, and try to get through them and push through it. And the next day may be way better than what you're experiencing today. So
Your daughter is a pretty impressive musher herself. Being three-time junior Iditarod champion, talk to us about how you feel about this.
yeah, I mean, as a parent, super proud of her. And you know, anytime your kid turns out to do better than you've done in life, it's pretty impressive, and super happy for her. And know she's worked really hard to get to where she's at, and spends a lot of time training dogs. And yeah, it's super super happy for her, and super happy to see what the future holds for her. And you know, she would like to run the Iditarod, the big Iditarod, someday. So she's hoping by 19 she can do that. So that was part of the reason for me doing the race this year as well. Also, I kind of get reacquainted with the race and help her prepare for running the Iditarod someday.
Looking ahead, do you see yourself continuing to mush and possibly doing the Iditarod again?
I would love to do it again. In fact, this year I got the humanitarian award, and what comes along with the humanitarian award is the entry fee paid for Iditarod for next year. So, but we haven't really been, planning on racing Iditarod this soon. And I think if we're going to use, it costs a lot of money to run Iditarod. So if we're going to put the effort forth to run Iditarod and the expense and all that, I would much rather see my daughter Emily do it than me do it. Again, I've done it, so I'd like her to experience that, and possibly my son Stanley. So that's where I'd rather focus our efforts as a family to see them run.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Humanitarian Award?
So yeah, the humanitarian award is picked by the team of veterinarians. Iditarod has, tons of veterinarians. At every checkpoint, there's veterinarians that go over the dogs, and before the race, they do EKGs and blood work on the dogs. So it's this whole team of vets that make the race possible. But the humanitarian award is a award that is presented by the veterinarians. They talk amongst themselves. They go over the dogs at the end of the race, and the musher that displays, the best care for their dogs gets the award. So it's a very prestigious award, and something that every musher, hopes to get someday. So yeah, I finished with 14 dogs, and the vets went over them, and yeah, to my surprise, they had picked me. I mean, there's a lot of good mushers out there that all take care of their dogs. So, but it's definitely an honor to receive that award.
Finally, we have the Iditarod Fast Five. We have five different Iditarod topics. We would like you to try to answer as fast as you can.
Okay.
Favorite musher?
Pete Kaiser.
Favorite Iditarod book?
Favorite Iditarod book, probably The Cruelest Miles.
Favorite checkpoint?
Ruby.
Favorite volunteer?
Probably Stu Nelson.
Favorite former champion.
Favorite former champion, Lance Mackey.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be on our show today.
Thank you for taking the time to interview me and being interested in the Iditarod.
Special thanks to our guest, Wally Robinson, for being on the show this week. If you enjoyed this episode, please stop by iTunes and leave us a review. It helps with our ratings. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or people you'd like to hear on the show, email us at huskytalk1@gmail.com. If we hear from you or you leave a review, we will read it on the show.
We would like to also give credit to Hobo Jim for our intro song, the Iditarod Trail song, and our intro song,
Here's to Joe,
Reddington's
it's off
Run.
we go, in the land of the midnight sun. They call this race the Iditarod Trail. To me, it's Reddington's Run. In my heart, it's Reddington's Run.